The show is live and local. It's your connection to local music and more. And on today's program, I'll be talking with singer-songwriter Todd Snyder, who will be twice in our area in the coming week and a couple of days. On Saturday, he's at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield for an 8 o'clock show. And on Friday of next week, he'll be at the Castle Theater in Bloomington, also an 8 o'clock show. And we'll talk a lot more about that and talk with Todd Snyder himself and hear some of his music. After we hear this tune from a former local band here in Champaign-Urbana area. It was headed by a fellow who's now off in the east, in the upper northwest, I believe, where, as it happens, Todd Snyder is mostly from. Pursuing other things. His name, Karim Yangsep, bassist, who organized this group called Bossa Nuevo. And this is music by the Brazilian composer Gilberto Gil on Live and Local.
Eu vim da Bahia cantar, eu vim da Bahia contar tanta coisa bonita que tem. Como é que eu faz pra viver? Onde a gente não tem pra comer, mas de fome não morre, porque na Bahia tem mãe e manja. De outro lado, o Senhor do Bom Fim, pra ajudar o baiano a viver, pra cantar, pra sambar, pra valer, pra morrer de alegria na festa de rua. De roda na noite de lua no canto do mar. Eu vim da Bahia, mas eu vou pra lá. Eu vim da Bahia, mas algum dia eu volto pra lá. Eu vim da Bahia cantar, eu vim da Bahia contar tanta coisa. aqui tem. Na Bahia que é meu lugar, tem meu chão, tem meu céu, tem meu mar. Na Bahia que vive pra dizer como é que eu faço pra viver. Onde a gente não tem pra comer, mas de fome não morre, porque na Bahia
não tem vez, mas se terem vez, amor.
hearing the group called Bossa Nuevo, former band in Champaign-Urbana, mostly made up of students from the University of Illinois in the jazz program. Vocalist for that music by Antonio Carlos Jobim is Holly Holmes, and also in the earlier tune called by Gilberto Gil. I'm not very good at pronouncing Brazilian, so I'm not really going to, and apologies for that. Karim Yengsep, the bassist and leader of the band, Mikhail Templeton, the flute and sax player, Laura Driscoll on piano, George Turner on guitar, Cody Jensen percussion, and also, and then Matt Plascotta on the drums. Heard here on Live and Local. It's a band who's was here a number of times live in our studio. This came off of their CD simply called Bossa Nuevo. I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up, a conversation with Todd Snyder, singer-songwriter from Nashville, most originally from Texas, and then Portland, Oregon, and then many other places, as he's sort of, as he would say, couch-surfed his way around at least part of his life. He's going to be at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield on Saturday night, and on at the Castle Theater in Bloomington next Friday, the 20th. Here's Todd Snyder in a song of his from the album from 2006 called The Devil You Know. It's the opening song on the track. That's a little later on in the CD. It's called All That Matters, one of his own compositions, here on Live and Local.
I can't dance, but I feel like dancing. Not with anyone, only you. Yours true, as love can be.
The tune is called All That Matters. It comes off of the album called The Devil You Know from 2006 by Todd Snyder, who's going to be in our area twice in the coming 10 days or so. He's going to be in Springfield on Saturday at the Hoagland Center for the Arts for an 8 o'clock show with Ashley Flynn also on that show. And then at the Castle Theater in Bloomington next Friday the 20th. With Chicago Farmer, who's been on this show before, and that show is also starting at 8 o'clock. And we caught Todd Snyder, I guess, at your home in Nashville. Is that where you are?
Yeah. Hey, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking the time. I have to tell you, I mean, just honestly, that as a mostly classical music guy who likes a lot of different stuff, you were new to me, and it was exciting to explore your website and look at lots of different videos and television appearances and sample a lot of the music, and I've really enjoyed it and getting to know a little bit about you.
Oh, thank you.
What would you know, for other newbies?
Yeah.
What would be the very first thing you'd want some newbie to know about Todd Snyder who hadn't heard your music before?
That's a good one. Let's see. If I was gonna, you know, just had one little phrase to say real quick, maybe I would say Arlo Guthrie-ish, you know? Sometimes I'll use that. Bob Dylan's my hero, but, you know, that's like a basketball player saying Michael Jordan's his hero.
Well, there's a point there. Although there are some of the songs that did remind me of some of the songs when I was a kid, listened to of Arlo Guthrie, like the Motorcycle Song.
Yeah, I'm really influenced by him, and even more so by the person that he was influenced by, which is a guy named Ramblin' Jack Elliott, who was a friend of his father's. And I think that the talking blues and the storytelling tradition had probably been around for a long time, but after the age of recording, I really felt like Ramblin' Jack Elliott was the first person to explore it a lot. There's a song of his called 912 Greens that, if you're a fan of the song Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie, if you look up Ramblin' Jack Elliott's 912 Greens, you'll hear where he got the idea for his song.
Randy Newman is somebody that other people have mentioned.
Yeah, I love Randy Newman so much, and didn't find him till later in my life. I'd already made 3 records when I discovered Randy Newman. I knew his hit songs. I just didn't. I saw him in concert, and I just saw this guy singing song after song that I loved, and then all of a sudden he did Short People, and I was like, oh, I get it. I know who that is. But I studied him a lot, and I've had a chance to meet him, too. He was very funny, I thought.
So when you say these are guys you particularly admire and enjoy and like, what is it about them specifically?
I think when it started as an obsession when I was very young, and it started with a singer named Jerry Jeff Walker, who also studied Ramblin' Jack Elliott. And I was living in Texas, and I was my little group of friends, I was the sofa circuit one that was always hitchhiking and didn't have anywhere to live. I was that guy of my school. And when I saw Jerry Jeff singing about this, he wasn't singing about it as if it was a freeloading experience. He was singing about it as if it was, you know, free spirited thing. And it put a positive spin on the life I was already living. And all of a sudden I thought hitchhiking was romantic instead of I don't even have a car, you know? And then from there I found out about Woody Guthrie and all that and just got obsessed with that that lifestyle. I felt like as soon as I found that, I felt like I was a guitar away from that person. You know, I'm like, I'm that guy. I just don't sing yet. And so I went out and got a guitar and started making up songs about all my you know, begging and traveling and all that.
Were you going to say panhandling?
Yeah, although I wouldn't say, I don't think panhandling is the same thing as putting a open guitar on a street downtown. That's called busking, is what I meant.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever panhandled. Although I guess I have. I have.
There's a line that you have on your website that you quote from one of the songs that maybe we'll hear in a little bit, where you say, "I'm broke as the Ten Commandments. Sometimes I'm harder to follow." Is that a direct biographical statement?
It used to be, or something I've experienced. I got really lucky when I was 28, 20, I think 26, when I got a record contract. And when I got my contract, I had my money in a can, you know, a coffee can. And
they gave me
in advance, and they also introduced me to an accountant guy. And he's always taken care of me, and I never got really rich, but I also never really had to worry ever since then. You know, it never got real tight. And then about the time Devil You Know, I guess when I turned 40, it seemed like, I don't know, in the last 5 or 6 years, we've actually managed to get some nice bread together, you know. I'm very thankful for that. I'm sure I'll find a nice way to blow it all, but I appreciate that. I didn't expect it, you know. I was already really comfortable living like we live. Now we got a little money saved and we might buy something. I don't know.
And is it the same accountant guy?
Yeah, about 15, 16 years. I hardly even know the guy. I've seen him a handful of times.
But he takes care of you. Which is
important. My bills go to his house, and most of my money goes there too. And I've never felt ripped off ever once.
You've been kind of on and off some more prominent record labels, or you know, and in and out of popularity, I gather. What has that meant to you, whether people are really paying attention to the records that you make as opposed to when they don't so much?
I don't know that I've ever felt like I ever got, like, popular. I've always been a pretty unpopular singer by the music standards, but that's, you know, it's enough. And then my label thing, again, I go back, I was, like, 27 or 28 when a guy named Bob Mercer came into my life, and he helped me build this team of people, and they knew that I wanted to be, and he worked for Jimmy Buffett, so it was Jimmy Buffett first, who knew that I wanted to be another Jimmy Buffett, Jerry Jeff Walker, John Prine type person. And so right from the very beginning, there was never any pressure to be on the radio or be part of, even as a young person, when my friends and other bands were being on the radio, it was pretty understood that I was going to be somebody who played folk houses and or, you know, theaters at colleges and things like that, you know.
The shows that you're doing in Springfield and Bloomington coming up, will you be solo? Will you be with any bandmates?
No, I'll be by myself this time. In fact, I got January and February, I'm doing solo, and then in March, I start back out with a band, and then we're going to tour quite a bit.
Can
we got a new record coming soon.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit, but do you enjoy either the solo or the band more than the other?
No, I really like them both. I've been asked that before, and I've given it some thought. I really would miss one if I was told you can only do this. I'd be like, oh, that's no good. I think the solo shows are a fun for guitar. They're both a different kind of guitar playing, and I'm really interested in both things, and it's a lot of fun for me. Although the way the show goes, I'll still just, if I'm tipsy, I'll talk and tell long stories, and then just make the band stand there and wait, or maybe they'll vamp or something while I talk. But I like them both. And then sometimes I have my tour manager's name Elvis, and sometimes I really like it if it's just him and I, and we got one other roadie, Brian, and then sometimes it's just the three of us, and then when the band comes, there's like eight of us. So sometimes it's nice to have a big group of people traveling, and other times it's nice. Like I went sometimes a solo bus tour, boy, that's a lot. You're on a tour bus, just you and two other people.
I saw one of the kind of documentary videos that's on your website in which you actually talk a little bit about the idea of touring, and I think you said something to the effect that you love the touring and couldn't do without it, but it's also exhausting, and a lot of the songs and maybe even the whole musician about you wouldn't be what it is without the touring.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have ever, you know, I definitely don't know that I'd still have this job had I not liked to be traveling all the time. And I do like it. I have other friends that say that the traveling is hard. I really like it. I like seeing the country. And now it is hard on your back and neck and, you know, and it's amazing. I don't know why that is. And then, of course, livers, you know, have a hard time. Like lungs, and I'm 45 now, but, you know, I'm feeling pretty good these days.
Well, since you mentioned livers and tipsy,
mm-hmm.
how often are you tipsy for shows, and how much does it make your show what it is?
I would say 99.99% of the time, and if it's not, it's because I have a cold. I usually have about a half a bottle of wine before the show, and then another half of a bottle during the show. And it's a lot. It has a lot to do with how the show goes. I don't, that doesn't even bother me or make me feel ashamed. I've always liked that feeling, and it's free. And I don't then go out afterwards and drink another two bottles of wine. I just knock back my little bottle to shake the nerves off. And so usually what I'll do is I'll get to the show early and make a plan and then have a half a bottle of wine and stumble through that plan and get and execute about half of it, and the rest would be sort of, I don't know, whatever happens, you know.
Is a lot of that because of nerves? You actually comment on nerves in that same video I mentioned.
Yeah, I'm a fairly nervous person, you know. In fact, part of the reason why I started doing this when I was young is because I felt like getting on stage and getting off stage, I was just as nervous off stage as I was on stage, so why not just get on stage? But then having a little drink beforehand takes some of the edge off, you know, and I know a lot of people do it. But yeah.
I'm thinking of some opera singers who I've heard stories of where they you think they're so poised on the stage, but you hear stories about how they've got to throw up before they get out on the stage, or people have to push them onto the stage.
So yeah, I've been that way. I have to at least have a couple of drinks in me, or I'll get a little, my hands might shake or something like that. But the people send a thing. My nervous reaction to a lot of times, if I'm nervous, I start talking, or like even before I was a singer, if I was nervous, I'd talk or try to joke my way out of it, and then that's just sort of been evolved into a show.
Well, yeah, there seems to be, well, you already referred to Arlo Guthrie and sort of the talk story song.
And I wonder if that was the same with him, you know, if he was nervous and just started talking, and it worked.
Well, we've been doing mostly talking. Why don't we let our listeners hear another sample of your songs? We heard from your 2006 CD, The Devil You Know, earlier. Let's move on to 2009 and The Excitement Plan. I don't know. I could pick any of these. I sort of like your harmonic work on this tune called Slim Chance.
Yeah, great. I like that one.
Yeah, you want to talk about it at all or just let it
roll?
Sure.
I made it up on my porch. It's a little finger-picking thing. I think it starts the record. Yeah, just play it. Hopefully people will like it. Come out to the show too, y'all.
Yeah,
it's tickets left for the shows?
As far as I know.
Okay, good.
Todd Snyder will be at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield Saturday night, and then at the Castle Theater in Bloomington next Friday, the 20th, with different opening acts each evening. So here's Todd Snyder on Live and Local.
One, two, three, four.
Todd Snyder, his song called Slim Chance, and from this disc called The Excitement Plan from 2009. And he's my guest here on Live and Local. He'll be in Springfield and Bloomington in the coming week or so. Where'd that name come from, by the way, The Excitement Plan?
That was my dad had that when I was a kid. He was a bit of a grifter, and he would always say that he was going to get people on The Excitement Plan, and which I guess was sort of how sometimes you can form a band, you know. You get a light man, you get all this stuff, and nobody's getting any money, but there's this excitement. And, you know, I would compare it to the way Tom Sawyer got those kids to help him paint the fence. You know, that was my dad would always, and I don't remember why I called it that at the time. There's no song called that. And my dad's been dead forever, but I don't know, when we were making that record, for some reason, I think economically the times made me think of that.
Well, I was reading that in somebody's review or another of one of your recent shows, or maybe it was a review of one of the CDs, I'm not sure, where they commented that on The Devil You Know and some of the discs after, there was a little, some politics going on, and then with The Excitement Plan, you sort of backed away from some of that.
Yeah, a little bit. I think that, you know, what I did was I had just made two records that I thought were pretty political. And at the time, I also felt like George Bush was president, and it felt like there was a ton of that, where people were really exploiting, you know, folk music is an easy place from which to exploit wars, you know. We don't really help them. We just make up songs about them and get for ourselves, you know. And I was starting to find it a little off-putting, and I was working on the new record, and I had about 15 songs, and I'd say four or five of them really spoke to the current state of politics, and then the other 10, I thought they still spoke to the human story, but I thought it was a little drier and more subtle, and so I told my manager I wanted to throw out the five political songs, and of course, I don't think they wanted me to, and so they asked me if I could make an EP, and I said that I wanted to call it Peace Queer, and that if we could call it that, that I would be in. So we took the songs that seemed political and made a really political EP, and then followed it with more of a, I guess I'd say sort of a more normal old storyteller type record. And then the one that we have coming out, I wasn't really listening as I was singing, but everyone says it sounds kind of political and angry this time. I don't know if I hear that, but that's what people are saying. So
that's an interesting comment you just made. I wasn't really listening as I was singing.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
I think so, yeah. It must be. I try to just let it out, you know, and try not to, and it sounds a little hoity-toity, but I think that my gig is to open my heart and let people see what's in there and then be cool about their judgments of it. You know, that I try not to complain about bad reviews, or if somebody comes up and tells me they don't like something, I try not to put that on them. You know, it's like That's the way I was feeling the year that they turned on the tape recorder. So they like it or don't.
I would say there's probably plenty of times that I have been listening to a song but not really paying attention.
Yeah, I try to just say the words so that I don't want to let poetry get in the way, and I don't want to let songwriting get in the way. I just want to try to say what I am feeling or tell stories that I've heard. And so sometimes we just, maybe I'll think about them and have little note cards all over my wall and stuff with little phrases, but mostly I just kind of sing till it feels right.
Are the majority of songs on your discs, on your records, your own?
Yeah, I'll maybe do like one cover per record. A lot of times I'll be working on a song and realize it's already been done, and then go ahead and just do the one that was already done.
You commented on this particular disc, The Excitement Plan, where you said you really had a goal in writing the songs for this one, that you wanted, I'm going to quote here, "I wanted every song to be sad and funny at the same time, vulnerable and entertaining at the same time, personal and universal at the same time."
Yeah.
Do you always have a game plan like that when you go to write?
Sometimes. And then sometimes when the record's done, I'll pretend that I had a game plan when I do the interview or something. But I tend to have a bit of an idea of what I'm, like, that was really what I was going for at the time, which is why I wanted those political songs off of there. And then that record that I wasn't so sure about, I'm not sure which one I like better. You know, at the time I was certain I liked The Excitement Plan better than Peace Queer. And now I flip-flop on them. I don't think I'm a good judge of my own stuff, especially if we're talking about it in terms of what, you know, like I can almost always promise that every song I make up is going to be true to me, and it's not going to be me trying to figure out something other people want to hear. So, but then there's a whole team of people whose job it is to sort of hope that people do like it. And you know, that makes, I don't have to attach myself too much to that part of it, but because I really like those people and trust them. And then to another degree, it's not like I'm one of them bands, you know, on the radio where I have to worry about that too much, but which songs leave the house if you got 20? There's a little debate that goes on about that.
You mentioned on your website, and then I saw reference somewhere else to a producer whose last name I never quite know how to say. Is it just Don Was?
Yeah.
W-A-S.
Yeah.
Was, not Was, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Of Was, not Was.
Yeah. What was his role in this one, The Excitement Plan, and some, at least one other one?
We're doing a tribute to Jerry Jeff Walker that comes out later this year together. He's become a real mentor to me and a great friend. He's a really, really smart musical person, and he's the Rolling Stones' main go-to guy. For me, that's like being the pitching coach of the Yankees, that you don't get called up higher than that, you know. I knew that I wanted to do something that was more acoustic on The Excitement Plan, and I think some people heard it and thought, why did he do that to you? I was like, well, he didn't, I did. But once that starts, just arranging, knowing when it's together, deciding when to fix it, if the tempo's messed up or not fix it, sometimes leave pitchy things, and organizing that and keeping things loose. I've really felt like I learned a lot working with him. Sometimes I get to produce other people, and so I also took a lot of stuff I learned from him to some other projects I did where I wasn't the singer.
We were talking earlier a little bit about whether you're going to be doing solo, which you are, and your coming appearances in our area, and sometimes you have a band and so on. And it seemed to me that on that particular disc, The Excitement Plan, it does have a more of a solo acoustic-y feel to it, but yet there's this really kind of tasteful, funky, rhythmic, tight band stuff going on behind you in a lot of those.
Well, thank
a lot of the
you.
Discs.
You know, that's that Jim Keltner, greatest drummer ever, who Don knew, you know. And so that was another thing. It's like, we were meeting, and I said, I want to get some kind of drummer that'll play like Jim Keltner. And he's like, well, I'll just call Jim Keltner. I didn't know, you know, that was on the menu. But I think I appreciate you saying that, because I think that did, I do think it was an acoustic record. But again, I like to think you could kind of shake your butt to it a little if you needed to. But we had just come off of like two records and an EP that were sort of headed in some rock and roll direction, and I just wanted to take a pause from it and gather my thoughts. And now this new record is pretty electric rock and roll, I think.
Let's hear something from, I guess, the most recent record that isn't out, that is out, as opposed to the one that isn't out yet. Yeah, The Storyteller.
Yeah.
I didn't happen to pick some of the ones with the band just because of the sound of this particular radio show, but how about Rose City Blues?
Yeah, I think I'm playing alone on that one. And there's a story right in the middle of it, so it may go on for a while.
Well, we'll see how much we end up putting on.
Okay.
It depends how much time we have on the whole show, but well, let's let it roll. This is from The Storyteller with Todd Snyder, who's my guest here on Live and Local. He'll be at the Hoagland Center in Springfield Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and then next Friday the 20th at the Castle Theater in Bloomington. This Saturday he'll be with Ashley Flynn, and then next Friday with the Chicago Farmer here on Live and Local.
Hey, let me try this one.
Song's called Rose City Blues, really, from The Storyteller. Live album, as you could hear, by Todd Snyder, who's my guest here on Live and Local. And we'll go out with in a little bit with one of the other ones that's on there that also happens to be on some of your other, one or more of your other albums, because this is kind of a greatest hits.
Yeah.
What were you thinking when you put this together, because there are also more of the spoken intros and filler things in this one.
It felt like a good time to put out a live record, because our shows, I just felt like they were going good at the time, and so with that one, I thought that I wanted to. I got my tour manager, and we have two guys that travel with us, Elvis and Brian. And I asked them, and we record every show we do, and so I asked them to sit down and make a list of the songs that they thought would be best. Those two really made the record for me. I just said, it's all spliced together. It's not one particular night. Each song it's like one night we're in Michigan, and the next night's Los Angeles, and the next night's someplace else. And I just told them to go. I said, go back through the last year of touring and pull out, you know, your highlights and see if you can't put together what seems like a pretty good composite of what you guys would have thought was a great night, you know?
And what does make a great night?
See, I don't know. That's not for me to decide, because I don't have any control over it or real. I just go. It's funny. They happen so much that I just go and I do them. And I don't think about them anymore, and those guys do a little bit, you know. They'll hang around later and talk to people and stuff, and usually I just sing my songs and head for the hotel.
Do you have any trouble as time goes on singing some of your older songs? I've heard that some singer-songwriters don't like to.
To keep to them? Not really, or I would just not play it if I didn't want to, but not really. I have... I bet you there's a few songs on the first few records that I haven't played in years. When I was younger, I would make up songs just because I thought they sounded cool, and if they didn't, they might not have an emotional thing that I could remember, you know, like, so when I go back to the old songs, there may be some song that sounds like I'm talking to a girl, but I know there's no real girl on the receiving end of that song, and so I get bored with those.
Is it? I mean, how much then is the that sort of suggests that the emotional quality of the song is really important to sort of recreate for yourself?
I think so. I've heard other people say that too. Like, if there's some memory you can get lost in while you're singing it, or just if there's a real personal point of reference, it's. I don't know what it is, but it makes it less. My experience is that it's a little bit less tiring to sing when you're just putting out these words that were just sort of a poem that you wrote 20 years ago. You can feel it. It feels like the guitar gets a little heavier.
Is there a trick to remembering all the words to all those? Because a lot of your songs have a lot of words, and they go
it's
by
funny.
Fast.
I'll tell you this. I know this. Sometimes I'll be sitting in the dressing room, and I can't think of one of them. And then I'll have two glasses of wine, and then I got them all. And then I've also got all the Dylans and Jerry Jeffs and John Prines and Chris Albersons. When I'm drinking, I can play about 300, 500 songs. And then when I'm not, I can play most of them, I guess.
Do you ever mix them up in the middle of a song?
No, not that I can remember.
That's the key, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's an advantage to not quite remembering what goes on in the show.
If it goes well, who cares? I mean, if it doesn't go well, you don't even remember sometimes.
Well, it's a lot of loosening up your brain, I guess, or getting your brain out of the way.
You know what, Don was, thought on it was you lower your inhibitions. That's your job as an entertainer and a songwriter. You know, you're supposed to lower your inhibitions so that you can let your heart out. You know, most of the time when you're with your friends, they don't tell you anything about what's going on with them and their wife till they've had a few drinks. And then they start telling you all this stuff. And I think that's sort of what the songwriter's supposed to do. I think, you know, you don't want to come and give people a surface. You know, that to me, that's the you know, you're not, if you're that guy where once this house thing's at home and you're the guy that just goes, fine, everything's fine. Well, maybe you're not going to make up good songs, but, or maybe you're just not going to get interested in trying to make up songs. But, so I think that, I've heard Jerry Jeff say that too, you know, late at night when people have had a few drinks, that's when they say what they think.
Well, it's been a pleasure to listen to you say what you think, both musically and otherwise, today here on Live and Local. It's Todd Snyder, who's going to be in Springfield on Saturday at the Hoagland Center, 8 o'clock, with Ashley Flynn. Is she somebody, are you touring with her, or is she just coming in? Or?
She's a friend of mine, and she's just doing this weekend, but she does a ton of shows with me. I'm a big fan of hers, and she's from my hometown, and then we met about 5 years ago, and I take her on the road quite a bit.
And then Castle Theater next Friday night, the 20th, at 8 o'clock, and you're with Chicago Farmer there. Do you know him as well?
Yeah, no, I haven't met him. I'm looking forward to it. I'm aware of and a fan of his music, so I've been looking forward to that.
Yeah, we had him on the show. In fact, we just rebroadcast a part of his show right after Christmas.
Oh, great!
And enjoyed having him on. He's a good singer, good storyteller, on his own.
Yeah, it was I think it was the promoter or somebody that knew him and got him on the show.
Yeah, well, I hope it's a great show, and hope lots of people come out to hear you.
Thank you, and thanks for letting me be on the radio.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to me. Let's go out with one that is on both the Excitement Plan and then live on the Storyteller. It's called Good Fortune, and it seems like a good way to end the chat.
Yeah, that is. Thank you very much, Kevin. I'll see you soon.
Thank you. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9.
May some good fortune come to you. May some good fortune come to you. Thank you, neighbors, for making us feel so welcome. I had a great time. I hope you got to hear the song you wanted to. God love you. Thank you.
Todd Snyder closing out one of his shows that comes from his live album called The Storyteller from just last year. And he's going to be, it's a tune called Good Fortune, and he's going to be in Springfield Saturday at 8 o'clock at the Hoagland Center for the Arts, and on Friday of next week at the Castle Theater in Bloomington. Check their websites for all the details and how to get tickets. Both shows start at 8, and he's with a different person at each show for opening act. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Hope you enjoyed our chat with Todd Snyder. Our program comes to you in part with support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday, it's a tasting of wines that are Rhones or reminiscent of the region, followed by live music from 7 to 9 by Desafinado. Here are some other events you can see and hear live in our listening area. It is Thursday the 12th, so that means in Decatur. There's a gospel show by Zach and Amanda Smith at Summit Avenue Baptist Church. It starts at 7 o'clock. Central High School Jazz Band from Champaign are at the Iron Post in Urbana this evening at 7. Community Players Theater in Bloomington presents a show called Hauptmann. It's at 7:30 tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, with a Sunday matinee at 2:30. At Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield, it's Come Blow Your Horn. That's this evening through Saturday at 6:30, Sunday at noon for brunch, and then continuing for a while yet, as they always do. John Miller and the Romantics play Gypsy Jazz at Gracie's in Washington, Illinois. That's this evening at 7 o'clock. The Feud and Hillbillies are at the Cowboy Monkey in Champaign tomorrow night at 9. It's the Dan Rivero Trio at Robbie's Restaurant in Springfield tomorrow evening at 5:30. Dan Hubbard is at Bentley's Pub in Champaign tomorrow evening at 7. Springfield Theater Center presents Chess at the Hoagland Center in Springfield Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. It's Joe and Jerry doing jazz at Martini's on Water Street in Peoria Friday night at 9 o'clock. The Weasel Dreams Sextet are at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5. The Lamont Parsons Experiment are at Bouvon's in Urbana Friday evening at 7. And the Big Creek Guitar Band, who we just had on the show the other day, at Huber's in Champaign Friday at 8 o'clock. Sidetracked play jazz at Bogey's in Peoria tomorrow evening at 8:30. And it's An Evening with Your Mother, Endless Pages, and Jack Johnston at Clark Bar in Champaign Friday evening at 6:30. There's a winter weather advisory in effect for most of our severe weather coverage area until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Ford County until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Forecast says snow and blowing snow with accumulations of 1 to 3 inches this afternoon. It'll be colder, temperatures falling into the teens, windy as well. Tonight, snow in the evening with a chance of snow after midnight. We'll see blowing snow through the night with snow accumulation of around another inch. A low around 10 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, cloudy and very cold with a chance of snow in the morning. The high tomorrow, just 19. The outlook for Saturday is for a mostly sunny day in, well, a mostly sunny morning, then mostly cloudy with a chance of snow Saturday afternoon. Expect a high in the mid-20s. And we are currently at 17 degrees, coming up on a minute past 1. You're listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR and classical music for Central Illinois.